We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole. Facts is from UncleDale.com semi-weekly podcast at this point in the year. I am Sam Fells, your host. You can find me on Twitter at FellsGate. We got a lot to get to, a lot to wade through. So, of course, we're in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew, beginning with Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he is the CEO, although he might have to change his title after tonight, of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. He is Andrew Cieslak.
Restoring the feeling.
Restoring the feeling. Feeling restored. You can find Slack on Blue Sky and Twitter at Torque Penderloin. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_McClure_ on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he's the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park. He's Fifth Feather John.
My yellow pad has red bursting crotch dots, Sam.
And more. You can find John on all the social medias at Fifth Feather. John's got Hawk Spilkus. Slack's got Bear Spilkus. Matt's got his usual amount of Spilkus. John might also have White Sox Spilkus. So, gentlemen, just go ahead and spill out your Spilkus.
Where's your Spilkus, Sam? I know
you really
have
any Spilkus. Other than real life stuff, I don't really have Spilkus.
Oh, okay. You don't have fake Spilkus?
I don't have fake Sports Rage Spilkus. No, I'm pretty
This is not a show for real Spilkus, by the way.
Yeah. We're not here for real Spilkus. That's what the bar is for.
That was hosted by Brian Gumbel on HBO.
Indeed. I have a little Hawk Spilkus, and we'll get to that together. You want to start there? We can do that.
Sure, why not?
Let's get that shit out of the way.
You all right, lead John. Us, our fearless leader.
Okay, then we'll start with your Hawk Spilkus.
Which part?
Any part you want. You're the one with red bursting crotch dots.
I think so. I'll tell you what, Sam. Go ahead.
I gotta tell you.
All right, Paul McGuire.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've been sitting on this because our esteemed producer was out of town last week, right? That's why we didn't record? You were
yeah,
here?
That's correct. Yeah.
Records are hazy from the time. We were all complaining about the NHL trade deadline, which gets stupider every year. And the idea that the Hawks not only were inactive at this trade deadline, but very well may be inactive at the next trade deadline, and probably the one after that. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. So why don't we start there?
Yes, that is exactly where my yellow pad begins, Sam.
The crotch shots are bursting.
Yeah. So I think the now I have to pull up the snippet here that Andrew sent to the group text, as we all know, the real show.
Mm-hmm. The real show. Yeah, absolutely.
But I do want to read it verbatim for the kids.
And I'm pulling up Cap Friendly right now.
As am I. So we are doing our research.
Okay. So this is Andrew, this is from Scott, right? Friend of the program.
Scott Powers. That's right.
He wrote, the 2024 trade deadline may be quiet for the Blackhawks, but there should be more movement come 2025. Unless the Blackhawks surprise people and take a significant jump next season, they'll likely be sellers at the trade deadline again. A bunch of expiring contracts to potentially trade away too. Taylor Hall, Andreas Athanasiou, and Ryan Donato will be on expiring UFA contracts. If Hall and Athanasiou can bounce back from their injuries this season, they could have some value.
That's actually Murphy not true. But
Connor
okay.
Murphy will be one to watch in the coming years, too. His contract runs through the 2025-2026 season, but he could be a player team looks to add for a couple of seasons. He obviously has to get healthy and start playing again. Okay, so there's a lot here that I need to divulge or digest with the group. So the first part that really, got my peppers hot was the sentence, unless the Blackhawks surprise people and take a significant jump next season, they'll likely be sellers at the deadline again. So we're already punting on the 2025 season. So Scott's not just making this up. He's not
getting that from nowhere.
Right. No. He's not just prognosticating himself. He's hearing from things. He's hearing things in the organization. He's talking to people. And they're telling him that, we're probably not going to compete next year. Okay, and this is where I have to say this is complete bullshit that you're already punting on the 2025 season. Because, Sam, and we'll air it out for the kids now, too, you have your megastar, Connor Bedard, right? So he's in the stratosphere of guys like Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews.
Foundational piece.
Yes. He is, that level.
Yep. And I would he's that good. Correct.
Yeah. Definitely on a different level than Patrick Kane. Right. And I'm not trying to compare those two at all.
Certainly at this point, yes. Absolutely.
So Connor Bedard would be entering his second season. Do you know what Sidney Crosby did in his second season when they drafted Evgeny Malkin with the second overall pick?
Went to the goddamn playoffs.
Well, they went to the playoffs. They'd already drafted Malkin, to be fair. But you're right. Malkin joins in his second year. They jump up some 50 points, I believe.
Yes, yes. What did Connor McDavid do in his second season?
They made the playoffs.
They did. And they probably should have made the Stanley Cup Finals.
Probably should have.
But they blew it against Anaheim.
Somehow found a way to lose to Anaheim in a playoff series.
And Austin Matthews, in his second year, the Leafs jumped close to 30 to 40 points and made the playoffs as well. So those are three teams where you had those foundational pieces that
in recent vintage, the
team was competitive. So you look at this Hawks team and they're at minimum picking in the top three. So at worst, you think they could get the third overall pick. And if you don't screw that up, then that's a piece that'll be playing on the team next year. He's on the team next year.
He's on the team for next year.
Yeah, there's nobody. Sorry, I shouldn't say. There's probably many forwards worse than whoever they pick at 3, 2, or obviously one. Right.
Right. So, if they get Cerebellum, if you pair Cerebellum or Celebrini,
Cabrini.
I was going with Celeborn, the Elven King, husband of Galadriel.
Good lord.
And if you pair him with the Boy King. Well, okay, now you have two pieces. Now
and we've Phil done, can't turn your back on Phil.
No, you can't turn your back on Phil. And okay, to be fair, Phil plays well with Bedard, which that it's just shows you that it just shows you that okay, he's clearly talented enough to play with the best player on the team.
And that Bedard can make what everyone thought was a middle sixer at best rich, even as a child.
Yeah, that's insane.
We did a different show about the UFAs that'll be available. So you got the garbage DeBrusk son and Tavo.
Sign them both. Pick them up.
You have copious amounts of cap space to fit those two guys in. So right there, then with the Boy King, Cabrini, what was it, Matt's Elven name?
Celeborn.
Frankie No-Nos.
Well, I'm not even there yet. With him, DeBrusk, and Tavo, those are four guys. Those are four forwards. That's two lines right there. And then, like you said, now you have Frankie No-Nos who's coming in, and he's not expected to play on the top line immediately. So you can ease him in. He's not getting, you know, he's getting sheltered starts. Scott Powers isn't writing about him every week, doing a point tally after every week. How well is he doing? You know, there's less pressure for those younger guys to produce from Jump Street when you have those four right away as your foundational forwards. The defense, I think their defense is good enough to be competitive next year with the four that they have. With Korch and Vlasic entering year two, they should make
and
a significant
Seth
jump.
And Murphy.
And then you have Seth
and Connor when he stays healthy. And
I'm looking at the defenseman UFAs, and the only thing I'm seeing all the way the fuck down is Brett Pesch.
But they don't need something of that quality. They already have
a top. Right. They have their four that they're.
But even still, like if you can add that to the proverbial mix.
Well, now we're getting a little bingy, and I don't think they need to do that necessarily.
No, right. I'm just saying. Bare minimum to become competitive and to not be punting on the 2025 deadline in March of 2024.
Right.
You know, I mean, to me, there's already a path laid out for them based on how this season has gone and how winning the lottery last year turned out for them.
The golden path, right, Paul Atreides?
Right. So there's no reason for them to be saying that they're already punting on next season.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, that's just loser shit.
John, I'd like to take a different angle that only supports.
Well, you always
point.
Like to do that, so go ahead.
No, I'm not trying to argue with you. I just want to make your point stronger.
Oh, okay. Well, then
because
proceed.
What we hear a lot from, I don't know if we hear it directly from the Hawks front office, but we hear it from the people around the Hawks front office, is that they don't want to lock themselves into anything before they have to pay Connor Bedard all the money in the world.
Okay.
John, would you care to guess how much cap space the Hawks have for next year?
$65 million.
Now, this is not even factoring in what the cap will go up. This is for what the cap is this year. If it were to simply roll over again, which is not, we know it's going up $5 million. But without that $5 million, the Hawks have $39.1 million in cap space.
Good Lord. Well, if you're looking at the same thing I'm looking at on Cap Friendly here, you'll see, Sam, that the salary cap, they've got that there.
Oh, they've got it?
And they've got it bumped up to 87.5.
Okay, so it's $39 million with the bumped up cap.
That's only a $4 million, but like if it ends up being five, you know, enjoy.
Then it's 40. John, would you care to guess, of all the Hawks free agents this summer, how many they really need to resign?
That includes RFAs and UFAs?
RFAs and UFAs. Remember, they've already extended three of them.
Right. Two.
Wrong. Zero. Nine that I count one, and that's Alex Vlasic.
Okay.
Who is restricted. But
I wouldn't hate a value Radish with a Y deal, but you can lose it. Yeah, exactly.
What's he Radish going to make? He's not even ARB eligible, right?
No.
He doesn't even have...
No, all he needs is
be NHL eligible. The guy blows.
He gave you 20 last year, whether you needed it or not.
So Vlasic makes... Hell, let's be generous. Let's say he gets resigned for $4 million.
Give him that nice 5-year by $4 million
deal. 5 years, $20 million.
Oh,
all right, now you got $35 million.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
Lock him in.
They gave everyone else too much money. Why not him? Because he can actually play. So you have $35 million to play with. Now, let's say DeBrusk and Tavo come in for a combined $15 million.
Sounds reasonable.
That's about right, yeah?
Yeah, I would think DeBrusk's son gets a little bit more, but yeah.
I think he gets a little more than Tavo does because Tavo's a little older.
Mm-hmm.
A little more mileage on the odometer there. But let's say $15 million combined. Now, I don't know that they're going to want to come here and play, you know, but let's just, for the sake of argument. Well, now you're still at $20 million of space. And as you said, Frankie Nono's coming up. He's got nothing. You got the new draft pick. He's making nothing.
Landon Slaggart making nothing.
You've got a top six that's at least representative. You've got a top four on the blue line that's at least representative.
You got a goalie that won't get you killed.
You got a goalie that won't get you killed while Slack's still making a messo for Comesso.
That's right.
Looked very solid up close and personal on Saturday, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
John,
yes.
What's the problem? I don't understand. Now, I don't. That doesn't mean you can automatically sign these guys. They might want to go play somewhere else, but you can at least throw your name in the hat and say,
that's what
we're
I'm
doing
saying.
Something here.
Right.
Or
I mean,
hat in the arena or any other mixed metaphor
right.
You want to go for.
Now, again, if you want to panic about Korchinski and Bedard's contract, Korchinski hasn't earned himself a huge payday yet.
The number, the raw numbers don't dictate.
Right. Hopefully he does. But you're talking about $20 million of cap room next year, and you're worried about contracts that don't have to be signed for 2 years, with the cap having gone up some $10 to $15 million in those years. So
yeah,
what
I,
are
I
we
don't,
doing?
That's what I'm saying, Sam. I don't understand why people are just content with...
You
well,
don't have to pay Connor Bedard until 2027.
Exactly.
I mean, they'll probably extend him well before he even, but before that season even
but
ends.
But that number's not going to kick in until 27 anyway.
And they'll probably get what'll they give him? 9. Right
well,
away.
They might as well just go ahead and give him the full 12 or 13. Who cares? You've got the space.
Yeah.
Give him the boat at 8x13 right away.
What the fuck? He's going to get it anyway.
I don't understand why people are just so accepting to what the Hawks are saying. Like, They're already telling you, like, oh, we're going to suck next year. Well, why? Why?
And the year after.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
To completely punt on Bedard's rookie deal. Essentially, every year, you're just going to say, well, we just hope to be better.
Well, and it times out very nicely, too, with the same year that Bedard will be getting paid, you know, an adult salary. Foligno will be gone. Dickinson, maybe you want to resign. Mrazek will come off the books at that point. Murphy, if he's still here, will be off the books and be 30 fucking three. So, like,
with a 50-year-old back.
The only super long-term commitment is Jones.
It just seems like that the organization has learned all the wrong things from the previous era. And
they
think
won
that
first cup on rookie deals. What the fuck?
Yeah,
they did.
That they got fucked over by the cap, and the cap, all these contracts ruined them from being competitive from 2017 to present
no,
day.
No, it didn't. It fucking doubling down on people you already knew and kept bringing back.
Right. Losing the Brandon Saad trade three times. You know,
the Tavo trade.
It seems to me, if I'm reading the tea leaves or trying to read between the lines, that
which is what you do best.
They're so that Danny and the boys are so obsessed with keeping their precious cap space that they're not going to give that up for anything, even if that means we're going to suck for 5 years and continue to just, you know, piss away years where they could actually be competitive and be growing into something that is a formidable Western Conference contender. They're just going to say, well, we'll just keep accumulating children and hopes that someday they're all going to come together. Well, this is the Buffalo plan right now, what they're on. They're on the Buffalo plan.
Well, it's
which
the
is
Buffalo plan. It's the Ottawa
endless
plan.
Rebuild.
The Ottawa plan? It's the, well, it's not so much the Detroit plan.
What about the dental plan?
It's also the dental plan.
Well, the Detroit plan is different because Detroit never had the high pick that the Hawks did. They
right.
never
they
got that.
They don't have the centerpiece.
Right. The Hawks have that. Did you say Ottawa? Ottawa never had that.
Stutzlund and the other garbage Kachuk son, they probably amount to a centerpiece between the two of them.
They're not in Bedard's class.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
I would argue
not.
The Sabres, as much talent as they have, Tage Thompson, he's not in Bedard's class either.
Well,
Dahlin,
when he was drafted, was thought of in that Bedard class, but you know, defensemen are different.
He's real good.
Defensemen are different.
It ain't his fault what's going on.
It ain't his fault. Yeah, I mean, I'm in lockstep with you. And I think I would add in that what, you know, I think they think but would never say out loud that the longer they slow play this, no one's job is in danger.
Right, because the OPPs are just eating it up.
They're just eating it up. Same with the Chuggos.
Yeah.
And they think, you know, they've somehow sold everyone that this is what the Hawks did in 2006 and 7, but it isn't.
No.
That came together very fast. And that's how it should be. So
the only difference was that there was more of a foundation in place, or at least pieces in place, when Taves and Kane both got here. That's
right,
the only difference. So if Bedard had stepped into a team where Korch and Vlasic were entering season two or three, you had, you know, say Reddish had a couple of 20-goal seasons on meaningless teams, and then Bedard steps in as a rookie. Then,
right.
you know, and Bedard and, comes and another player, say Cabrini.
So you're reverse engineering it. But as you say,
yeah.
next season you're going to add a top three pick and Frankie No-Nos. Perhaps this Landon Slager can play. I'm skeptical.
Oliver Miller, maybe.
Call it. Well, Oliver Miller's 2 years down the road. Call it my Andy Notre Dame bias. I can't help it. You've got, you know, Del Mastro, the Homo sapien down at Rockford that they're all in love with.
He looked you know, decent. And they had him and Nolan Allen paired together. And they were the top pairing.
You're reverse engineering this. Than you did last time, but that's fine. But they somehow have convinced most Hawks fans that, like, oh no, it always takes 4 to 5 to 6 years. And it does. It results in salary cap league.
It fucking better. It fucking better not.
It doesn't take that long when you get that centerpiece that they got last year.
Mm-mm. It could be argued that it's kind of taken your Devils longer.
It's not
than...
linear, but the my Devils have a playoff series win to their name.
True facts.
Yeah, and I guess I forgot about the Hughes boy. He was in the playoffs in year two, right?
Year three.
Okay. Nevertheless.
So yeah, I'm right behind you.
And you're right in your analysis.
I'm right in my analysis. I think it's ridiculous. Now I'm not. None of us are suggesting that the Hawks need to go out this summer and break the bank for anyone they can find. But you can certainly add a piece or two that matters.
And I'm all right too with them not using a retained salary slot for what was apparently on offer, which were mid to late round picks.
They got
for doing the favor, yeah. For doing the favor, right, you can especially with McCabe
picks.
Coming, yeah, and McCabe and McCabe retain McCabe's retained salary is coming off right like real fucking fast this summer. So
they got 7 picks in the first 3 rounds next.
Oh no, not till next year.
In June. That's enough. You gotta make that's enough. They got 7 picks in the first 3 rounds in June. The next draft, they have 5 in the first 3 rounds.
Yeah, they got fucking Tampa's too, which they might not even make the playoffs. That might be technically a lottery pick, also.
It might be lottery protected, but
top 10 protected, not lottery.
Top 10.
Yeah,
okay.
So.
Okay.
They got 5 in the first 2 rounds this year.
They have 5.
Well, yeah,
okay,
so your top pick is for sure an NHLer. You've got to at least you got to
better
hit
be.
Yeah, well, you better be. Yeah, is right.
And you can worry. And if Tampa doesn't make it, you can build something around that one and the Toronto pick next year that you have the first rounder, mm-hmm. 25. You can because even with it going up, there are still going to be fucking teams in cap motherfucking goddamn hell. Matsky.
Yeah, and I think that gets the Sam
Shea Theodore. Hello.
Yeah, that's what Sam. I think Sam has been mentioning as well. Is that there has to be a big trade here coming up in the next year or so, for a foundational piece.
Well, a veteran that's making a shitload of money. That's uh-huh. that a competitive team is going to need to. They're on the other end. They're shoes on the proverbial other foot now, for this shit with them.
And here's,
go ahead,
back to what Scott had written. I think the other thing too that we're kind of talking about, but not specifically, is these guys that he lists for next year who are trade candidates. Okay, Taylor Hall. What is Taylor Hall going to net you at next year's deadline if he has a year similar to this? 0.
Second conditional first. If he's awesome, if he stays healthy,
right.
And he's a point per with the kid.
Second. So then you have that's another. So then you have what 40. Picks in the first 2 rounds?
3. You'd have 3 first round picks.
And then Athanasiou and Donato
on
expiring deals.
That's mid-round.
Those aren't real trades. You'll get 5th round picks for both of those guys, no matter how good of a year they're having.
Yeah, that's just clearance salary.
Athanasiou and Donato are perfect examples of how dumb I think the NHL trade deadline is, where it's like, yes, if you're getting a difference maker, fine, but the way these teams get in trouble is when they start going a little nuts for guys who are just like, they need some depth. Like, you listen to like the insiders like, well, there's a market for Nick Bjugstad. Nick Bjugstad's been in the league for 10 fucking years. We know what he is. You already have a Nick Bjugstad on your team. You don't need to go get one.
He's a basement freezer. That's what he is.
Right. Andrew Cock, like, I love Andrew Cogliano.
Whom
we
amongst
know what
us?
He is at this point. You know what he is at this point. What was the other one? Alex Kerfoot. For fuck's sake, who makes a call about Alex Kerfoot? Who gives a shit? You have an Alex Kerfoot. That's what Ryan Donato
has. We have Alex Kerfoot at home.
We have Alex Kerfoot at home. You know what Andreas Athanasiou is at this point? Fine, give him a 5th round pick. Who gives a shit? But like the idea that they're going to drum up a market for these guys is just fallacy. And the other thing, John, I want to
point probably out. You could probably jostle loose Anthony Cirelli because they decided to pay Hagel too. They're like effectively the same guy.
Well, Anthony Cirelli is a difference maker. That's fine. The other point I want to make.
That's a long paper though. Jesus Christ, he's through 31 for fuck's sake. He's only 26 though.
Any goddamn sense to me is you re-signed Dickinson and Foligno for multiple years, saying we're building something here.
But Dickinson, I can half buy. Foligno, get the fuck out of here.
No, I can't half buy it $4 million. You're not building anything. Like Scott just said, that they said they're not building anything. They're just gonna kind of sit there. It's like, well, we're gonna suck. But we're gonna have these guys, you know, teach them the culture. Well, how long does that fucking take?
Of crying in front of a camera. Well, it's like the drill tweet. You know how I got the? You know how I got this car? Crying.
That
should
be over.
Crying.
That phase should be over after game 82 of this season. Now, if you want to keep Dickinson around, he's 28. He clearly is an NHL bottom sixer. I can get behind that. That's fine. But don't tell me you're building a culture, because what is Jason Dickinson and Nick Foligno gonna teach Connor Bedard next year that he didn't already learn this year?
Work ethic, my friend.
Like, that's instilled already. And if you're on this long timeline, by the time you're ready to actually do anything, these players are useless.
Yes, what I was thinking about last night, Sam, is go back to the 2007-2008 Blackhawk roster.
Do we have to?
if you don't have to, if you don't want to. But tell me about these guys that set the culture then.
Martin LaPointe.
Ripping darts in the locker room before the smoking ban hit the city.
Was he still on that team?
He was on the 2007-2008 team.
He was the one who spearheaded the coming out to center ice after that
the Oilers game.
Yeah.
Right. How many times did they thank Martin LaPointe during the 2010 Stanley Cup parade or the 2013 Stanley Cup parade or the 2015 one? Did anybody even remember who he was?
Recall hearing his name.
Right. Or either of the garbage Adams boys that were on the team, Kevin or Craig.
Craig.
They both had Stanley Cup pedigree too. They've got more than fucking Foligno and Dickinson had.
I'm saying. Neither of those guys mattered when they got good again, and it didn't matter.
Craig Adams was a graph boy.
Or the culture that was instilled by the players. No, I mean,
right.
It's just total like.
Robert Long, they wouldn't. They didn't.
Lang,
have, they didn't
Lang, Robert Lang. Lang.
They didn't. Didn't he want it pronounced Long?
Did he?
I can't remember.
I think there's. Well, anyway, I think there's a metal umlaut in there somewhere.
They didn't hesitate to punt his ass at that deadline. Like, thanks for building a culture. Now get out of here.
Yeah, thanks for your veteran
Jay
presence.
Willie, Jason Williams. Like these were not people. They felt like
you
they
mean Jason Cullimore. They brought him back
him
though.
Too. Yannick Perreault.
Right. He's still coaching faceoffs. He's still
guys
in
with
town.
That young team that it didn't mean shit in the end. And it's the same thing with
Michael
with these,
fucking Hanzus.
When you talk about guys like Foligno and Dickinson, more so Foligno, and I'd say more so Mrazek as well, like extending them 2 years is just, to me, it's just the most pointless thing in the world. You're essentially wasting roster at best.
Well, the Mrazek thing might be because Arvid Fever has now become hypothermia.
Yeah, yeah, and I get that, but at the same time, you've proven that you can find goalers anywhere and turn them into
like
Peter Mrazek at worst. You can turn them into
Jimmy
Mrazek.
Wade knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so why lock yourself into a guy for two more years? Just roll the dice with somebody else. You're not winning, apparently.
But if they try Commesso next year, then that might be a fade out and fade in into Commesso taking the bulk of the starts. We've talked about this.
Yeah, I guess. But
that's a reasonable insurance policy because Commesso then is on a rookie deal also. Don't get me wrong, I feel like they could have gotten something because the goaltending situation in a lot of places is dire. Sam's Devils, hello.
Indeed.
And Mrazek got hot as shit for like the middle, of January to like the All-Star break, and you could have fleeced someone. But, and then you just have to go and find another, the proverbial reliable veteran next year, which is a coin flip.
Maybe you take Ulmark off the Bruins' hands. That maybe your big trade is Linus Ulmark, because they're going to give the job to Swayman full time. Or it's something like that. You know, maybe you make Laurent Brossois your starter for a year. That's no different than Peter Mrazek, is it?
Right. No. And you're not locked into him for another year. No. Well, Mrazek's 2 years now after this season, right?
Yeah. Yes. And Ulmark would have only been one. And younger.
Yeah, I mean, Talbot?
That's kind of my thing, is like where the, what the OP is. It's just
Cam Talbot is now the oldest player of the league.
It's just another OP talking point. It's something that Danny and the boys are you know, shouting from the mountaintops, that the OPPs are now repeating, like it's gospel. Is that, well, you're not going to be good in two years anyways. What difference does it make? Well, yeah, what difference does it make if you're already punting on the seasons, but you have a chance to be a competitive team again relatively quickly, in my opinion.
Here's another angle, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, it's hard to prove this, but it's just a feeling I have.
That they've been Reinsdorfed and they're all right with the 90% full building, despite sucking shit.
I don't buy that necessarily, but you're going to head into year three with Luke next year. And I think there comes a point where what Luke is telling these kids to do and how to play, those kids have to start seeing some results. Like, if you're telling Coach, this is how we want you to defend, this is how you want to get up the ice, he's got to start seeing that produces and prevents goals.
Yeah, he's not a minus 44.
Right. Like, it's okay this year. Like, he knows the deal.
Okay, Russo yelling out plus minus.
I know, but it matters to those guys.
Guys. But like, if this is your system, if you hire Luke because you say we like this guy and we like Luke, I'm not, Roy.
Hang himself Roy Combs style in a closet at some point after this season.
He might.
Because Luke will get another job after this, though. Even if he might not survive the growing pains here, Luke will get another.
Yeah,
job.
I wonder if he's just gonna quit. Honestly,
but what you're saying is that we're gonna install Luke's system now, because this is how we're gonna play when we're good. Well, at some point, that's got to turn over.
Like, how much more mentally can you take of this if you're Luke Richardson? This sucks, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's enough now. It's enough now. Let alone a year from now.
That's a really good point by Andrew. I think that
destructive. It's awful for the players and the coach.
Bednar had to do it, though. I mean,
Bednar only had the one bad season, though.
Only one bad season. Yep, this is two. And if you're going, now there were more pieces there. 2025. If you're punting on 2025, that's 3 years. And at that point, then as a coach, you completely lose faith in everything that you're saying as well.
Yeah, how are you supposed to think that what you're teaching is worth a shit?
Right.
Like, yeah, I think this would work, but how the fuck should I know?
How would I know?
Nobody's supporting me, and why should I continue working here, quite frankly?
If you're not going to help me.
Yeah. Forget getting fired. The guy would resign.
Mutual parting of ways.
Exactly.
Bednar had the 48-point season in his first year when Wah quit right before training camp, and then they doubled their point total the next year with 95.
That'll work.
Yeah. Well, and that, yeah, Colorado is an example for our earlier thing, in case the kids are yelling at their car or whatever they're listening to on about Colorado.
Our listeners can't afford cars.
That's true. They're screaming on the CTA. But Colorado, I think, was a weird example, because I think McKinnon's year was that rookie year, was that goofy season where Craig Anderson went berserk, or whoever they had in net.
Varlamov.
And they had 105 points.
Right, but everyone knew that sucked.
And like a minus 74.
Their PDO was insane. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Some horseshit. Yeah, that's right.
So they're not a great example, just because they had that crazy rookie season of McKinnon's. But anyways.
But they had Rantanen playing his second season that year when they doubled their point total. He was a rookie in the bad year. And then he jumped up, which should be the equivalent of adding whatever we're calling Celebrini now or Kane Lindstrom or the Michigan State defenseman. I don't fucking care. But yeah, I mean, to just, I mean, the bottom line here is to just say now next year's a write-off. That's unacceptable. It should be unacceptable to anyone paying attention.
Who does it benefit for the organization to leak these rumblings of inactivity to Scott Powers or anybody
else? It benefits Kyle and it benefits Luke.
In what, in expectation building or in, we're being real with you here. Like, is there any chance this is like, we're setting a low expectation so that when we outperform it, people aren't coming, you know, with pitchforks at us?
I guess that there's always the...
Isn't that a possibility?
Yeah, it is a possibility, but I don't
But they haven't earned that. They haven't earned that yardage.
No, they haven't, which is why we're reacting to what we read instead of thinking that, oh, maybe they're just kind of trying to sandbag things, at least until... They don't want to say, hey, we're going to be really good next year. We're going to be really competitive next year if it doesn't work out, I guess.
Right, and I think this is segueing into your Spilkas here in a little bit, but... everything so far that during the Danny and Kyle era has been pretty transparent, and everything that they've said or leaked has been what has happened. So they've never done anything where they've like set out a smoke screen to say, well, this is what we're thinking, and then done the complete opposite.
Right. But then we're talking about trying to be like good. We're not talking about, you know what I mean?
I suppose,
I don't know. I mean, it might be one of those things where they the feelers are out and they don't feel like any free agents are going to be attracted to coming here. I don't know.
I don't buy that. I mean, because we know what the Hawks organization's reputation is.
It's very
amongst
good.
The players. It's very high.
Right. Definitely.
Players love it here.
Yeah.
You get
a chance to play with the Boy King too.
Right.
You get a chance to play with the Boy King. You get to play in one of the hockey's biggest market with no scrutiny.
Like, no, in fact, it's
and you get
it's
to, and you
like
get to go out to dinner.
It's almost undying worship. Yeah, as long as you're not going to dinner in Orland Park, you're fine.
Right. No one knows who you are. No one cares what you do on the ice, really. No one's going to criticize you. You're not going to answer any tough questions.
I mean, and Sam, to heap onto your point, you know, you had a full house. You've beaten the shit out of the useless Coyotes. What if you watched the game and didn't know the team's records? You wouldn't think this is the worst team in NHL history, potentially, having a home game. It's like it's pretty raucous most nights. If they're giving you anything to cheer about, the fans take the opportunity to do it. It's kind of infuriating in a way. It's like, how stupid are you?
People are bought in, but they might be too bought in for the sake of... Like, everyone knew that it was going to be a rough go, and the kid was going to be the only thing to watch, him and Korch. But like,
that's how it's ended up. The fans are almost saying like, we don't care if you're good. We have Connor Bedard, but that will wear off at some point. I would think,
but we're going on 7 years without a playoff win.
It almost feels like Bedard's entrance reset that entire drought. Almost
you
like
think that clock resets.
That like doesn't count as much because he's here now. Yeah. I do think that's
true. I think I would agree with that, but it's going to start to count. It's going to come back and count more if you continue to pile up the useless seasons.
Yeah,
if
he might not
have it. If you're out of it next March,
right?
Then it's going to be nine straight. People are going to say it's nine straight years.
And he might not have it in him yet, but at some point he'll say something to the media like, "I'm sick of this." It's not like I want to be traded. Because obviously he's not getting traded no matter what he says. But if he starts spouting off about losing his bullshit and I'm tired of it, people are going to echo that. I think they'll take his side over anybody else.
They would take his side now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying maybe he grows into his britches a little bit more vocally next year.
Well, now I was going to say, like, he
taking
can...
the cues from Papa Foligno.
I was just going to say, he
Nikki
can
the
try
Moth.
And say... He could try and say something to the press like that, but they're all crowded around Foligno like Leonidas' army. You know, like, so, like he's just going to be standing in his locker talking to no one going, this sucks, while Foligno talks about what kind of team we're supposed to be. Shut up!
And his son's peewee team.
You had that shot of Bedard on the bench telling Foligno how slow he is.
Right.
That's only going to get worse, brother.
It's only going to get worse.
Like, it's funny now. Next year, it's not so funny when you're getting your brains beat in by the Avs to the tune of an aggregate 28-0 or whatever.
I don't think it's impossible that, at least to a certain degree, they are trying to, like, sandbag a little bit so that if they do something on July 1st, it's like a big pop. You know, like, oh, if they can't make any deals on July 1st, well, that's what they told you. But if they do, it'd be like, oh, look at this.
Hey, holy there's shit. Tavo, and the girls are whereas so horny.
Right. Whereas if you come out
the girls
and say,
being us.
Right. Whereas if you come out and say, no, we're really going to try and improve next year. We want to be active in free agency. And then you don't do
and
anything.
And you don't hit anybody. Right. Because it's still not a guarantee. Because, that, you know, it's like, you can't guarantee you're going to sign a good player if none of them want to sign with you or get better offers. Indeed. Now, theoretically, the Blackhawks should not be outbid by anyone for anybody because they have more money than
more money.
No one worth having hits free agency anymore.
And they outbid no one for players like
Nick Foligno.
There's like three or four guys they gave horseshit contracts to that were three times how much they should actually be getting.
Just looking at the floor.
Getting outbid financially should not be a thing next year. You're not signing anybody for 4, 5, 6 years anyway. So I don't know what this we don't want to commit to anything bullshit is. Right?
Now, if you want to talk about a team that did raise expectations and hasn't done anything, let's get to the Slack's Bears Filkas.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting all week.
I've been going up and down, right?
I think
I'm up and down. I think one of the things I've sort of convinced myself of since I was, you know, texting, we're finished in the text thread. And the reason why I texted that here, I'll go both poles of the spectrum here.
We're finished.
Yeah. I had just read a bunch of people speculating that Poles not signing an edge means he's going to draft one with the 9th pick. And I lost my mud hearing that. That is even a possibility, which it might not be. It made me sick to my stomach.
No, it's just people saying shit.
It was just people saying shit. And then where I came back, we had this discussion today, which I do want to air out a little bit more, was what's happening with the Texans, right? Where they drafted C.J. Stroud. After they figured out this guy's really good, they're going nuts in free agency, spending tons of money because they have that guy in place now.
And he's on the rookie deal.
Exactly. And it's not like, oh, we're not sure. Now, Sam, you pushed back on this a little bit. I'm not trying to call you out, but you mentioned if they're not sure Caleb is that guy, then why are we doing all this? Well, obviously they're doing it because they have the number one pick. And that's the only reason they're doing it. The second part is Fields obviously isn't CJ Stroud, as Brad Biggs has made abundantly clear.
Which he didn't make clear before the draft last year, to be
of course not. You know, hindsight's 20/20 for Brad Biggs, and his weight is also 20/20, from what I understand. So you've got the opportunity to draft a guy if he's as good as CJ Stroud, or he's as good to make you think, all right, this guy is our
They're
guy.
Hedging a little bit, which I'm fine.
They're hedging.
With.
Yeah, so it did take me off the ledge slightly in that if they go nuts, cap themselves out, build a roster, and Caleb Williams just isn't that good. Or Sam, if you want to play devil's advocate, they don't draft, let's say they trade the pick, and Justin Fields isn't that good, then they're really fucked. So
I don't think you need to worry about that, but
I don't, but I'm just making my point. Like either way, if they're hedging a little bit because they want to ensure that the guy they pick is the guy they think they're getting, I'm not that burnt up about it because it doesn't stop them from being competitive.
There's
next year,
always going to be another. There's always going to be another edge
totally,
coming free in free agency.
Right.
And also clearly Ryan Poles has shown he will be active at the deadline, one way or the other, in trying to.
Yeah, that's true. But like with Poles, it's like I'm not sold on not a moron. I don't think he's not a moron.
We don't know.
We just don't know because you take any of the good and you can easily fill the other column of bad and match it. The Velus pick, a number of things, right, that you can point to.
The fact that Matt Eberflus is still here.
Correct. That's a huge one, right? Because, again, I've said this to myself 100 times and I've said it in other groups.
Caleb might be the truth, but you're giving him to Matt Eberflus.
You had a team that last year on paper that was good enough to make a playoff run, at least get into the playoffs. On paper.
Well, and in games. Three historic bone jobs.
Yep. That's what I'm saying, right? So
you flip those three games and that's a playoff team.
Exactly.
If you flip the three games to the outcomes that they should have been mathematically, that's a playoff team.
So my
bad
point
playoff
being,
team, but it's a playoff team.
Playoff team in spite of itself.
Go ahead, Andrew. Sorry, finish your thought.
I'm just saying that's where I'm at. So like if you can't say Poles is one thing or another. It literally just comes down to results this year. It's the only thing that matters is the Caleb Williams things is obviously important, but as long as they're good, they have to be good. They have to win more games than they lose.
And not look like assholes doing it.
They have to do it. And if that doesn't happen, nothing matters.
I don't want to hear anything about promise come next December. I want to see it. Don't tell me what you're going to be. I want to know what you are now.
Yeah, this isn't like let's break in the rookie and you know have right. some up and downs. No,
well, I don't want excuses either. You know, like
CJ Stroud fucking do it. It's been done. Literally.
Well, that's the thing with Caleb. Now I'm getting excited about it.
And the guy that coached him up is there to be fucking had next year again too. In the event that
I'm not cutting him the same rookie runway. I'm not going to sit here in December and be like, well. Would have been good, but had to go through the bumps and the learning curve, and we'll get him next year. No. This guy is supposed to be above all that. Now, there's still going to be bumps. He's still going to make mistakes, but he's supposed to walk in here and make your team better. That's the deal.
Right. He's 1-1. Fields is not 1-1. And also, Fields didn't walk into this roster.
Right.
This is a good team.
So, I don't want to hear it. Now, it's Slack, I'll tell you what gives me a little bearish spilkus.
Oh, boy.
So I had a little Hawk spilkus that I shared with John.
As long as it's not stadium spilkus, because nobody wants to hear
that. No, I don't give a shit about that. That's so far from being anything, I don't care.
Okay, great.
Here's what gives me a little bearish spilkus. The day Ryan Poles walked in, he was like, we're going to build this team from the lines out. I'm sitting here after two seasons in his third offseason. I'm kind of still waiting for the team to be built from the lines.
Thank you.
Out. Like you can
sign a bunch of backup linemen,
right? They could walk out of this offseason.
and they're gonna play 4 minute mile.
That's right.
They could walk out with Caleb Williams and Adunze from the draft, and you'd have to say, "Hey, that's a pretty good offseason," right? Like if you could pull that off, or the receiver from LSU, be like, "Okay, that's pretty good." But you haven't fulfilled your promise, which was that you were going to turn your lines into the strength of the team. And I look at the lines and I see Tevin and Darnell and Montez Sweat on the other side, and then a bunch of ifs or nothing.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, they didn't sign Daniel Hunter. Everything's a failure. But you got to, you know, you sign in safeties.
All I want is a center that can snap the fucking ball and not have to...
Right, that's all well and good, but these have to be the strength of your team, whatever Caleb Williams is. And we're still kind of sitting here waiting for him to do that. And right now, it's kind of projected that their top two picks are going to be a quarterback and receiver. And again, they probably should be, given how this draft is. But where are your studs on the lines coming from?
Camp cuts,
that's what
my
I
friend.
Want to know. That's my spilkus.
That's your spilkus. Well, look, the offseason is really long. I think there's a hyper focus on this free agent frenzy that happens in the first 3 days, but guys are going to be getting cut all throughout the summer. Khalil Mack wasn't acquired until
a week before the season.
A week before the season. So there's like a million.
I was sitting NFL on the toilet when Slack texted all of us.
Is the best soap opera in going right now. And I think there's always going to be guys that become available that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, to Sam's point, I mean, as we sit here right now, the Bears offensive line, I think you have 2.5 dudes. And maybe, Ryan is what's that?
Maybe 2.5 dudes. One of the dudes can't stay healthy.
Okay. So then you have two dudes combined between Braxton and Tevin.
Darnell.
Well, Darnell is obviously a dude, but then you have Braxton as a half and Tevin as a half. And so
Braxton
they combine.
A half dude?
Yeah, I'd say he's
a half. He answers the bell.
He answers the bell, and I would say he's average. So he's a half a dude.
Yeah, okay. I mean, again,
Ryan has given himself the out that if there's a left tackle out there, and no, I'm not interested in David Bakhtiari because I don't want to hear about how he tore his Achilles.
David Bakhtiari.
David Bakhtiari.
David Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
That guy gets hurt giving an interview on the radio. Like, yeah. I don't want any problem. And then, like, everyone tells me, like, oh, he's a great offensive lineman when he plays. When is that? I've never seen it.
Right.
I've never seen him on the field.
The last 3 years, I've heard how the Packers season is about to go south because Bakhtiari is done for the season.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it never happens.
And
never
they
happens.
Find some hobo on the streets to play left tackle, and it's like they never missed a beat.
The worst.
John, I'm with you. I want to be clear. I am not passing final grades on the Bears offseason today or any day soon. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I'm sitting here at the moment and watching all these things come off the board. And I don't know who half these people are. I don't watch that much NFL football. But I'm just saying, like, here's what Poles told me he was going to do.
Yeah. And no, I get that.
I'm still waiting for him to do it.
Right. And
didn't he say we're going to take the North and never give it back?
Yeah.
Well, that's pandering bullshit.
Just beat Green Bay once. Beat Green Bay once. You don't even have to take the North.
I'm pleased to say that with 3 out of 6 wins, we are on pace to do just that.
Just beat Green Bay once. That's all I'm asking. You don't have to take the North. Just beat them once.
Just once.
That's all we need.
Give me a taste.
Something.
So, and then on the defensive side, I guess, yeah, Sweat is your one lineman. And then you've got Gervon and Matt's guy, Zach, with the 40 Cs.
And I like Gervon, but yeah, he's not a dude. At least not yet.
He's got more proving it to do.
And as far as like the free agents that were available, at least on the defensive side, I think on the offensive side, there haven't been like the guys that you saw were available that were, at least on the left tackle, I think who Ryan has said that he's given himself the out if there's somebody that makes sense that they would bring them in. I don't think that there's been anybody on the offensive line that I've seen get signed that, you know, really made sense from the Bears' point of view. On the defensive side, I think the one guy, and again, this may have been the garbage Davis son going a little crazy, but Christian Wilkins, I thought, would have been worth exploring, or at least
my brother got his peppers hot for Christian Wilkins.
They also took the weirdest intro photo of him when he signed the Raiders. Looked like he was shitting out a helmet, but
he's going to be playing.
Speaking of weird photos, did everyone see what I just texted?
No, my phone's in the other room because I'm a professional.
That's right, he is.
I'm producing here, goddammit. This is content.
But yeah, I think from the defensive line side, I feel like Christian Wilkins would have been the one guy. Obviously, Chris Jones would have been another guy, and I feel like the Bears Poles was probably hot after him a little bit.
That's pie in the sky.
It's just not
going to
happen. Yeah, it wasn't going to happen. He's got his thing going on down
who
there.
Who was the free agent on the Hawks we wanted to like immediately re-sign with their team? Like Pettersson. Oh yeah, we're going to get Marcus Pettersson. No, you're not. You're really not.
Elias Pettersson.
Right. Marcus is the defenseman. Sorry.
Too many Eliases out there.
Too many Eliases in Vancouver.
Elias corner.
All right. Anyway, John, did you want to spill any of your White Sox spilkus while we're here?
No, was Andrew done with his Bears spilkus?
Oh, are you done with your... I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're done?
Yeah. We're good.
Okay.
We like the safety, even though he's 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Sure.
And we like that Jalen got re-signed, even though he's too horny.
Yeah. It fuels him.
Also, sex addiction isn't a thing.
Oh, now you're going to get them after us.
Oh, you're going to get the horny people mad at us, Sam.
Already are. They already are because, you know, Slack's a kink shamer.
I hate kinks and I hate horny people. If you're horny, get the fuck away from me.
Well, I'm confusing it. I know porn addiction is not actually a thing. Is sex? It's not considered like the same thing as like gambling or drinking.
I don't know.
I don't think it's considered the same.
I don't want to.
You're not a sex addict unless you're like Leon and you piss into a condom and tie it off and then you keep fucking.
I had a friend who, in the stand-up world years ago, had a bit about sex addiction. Man, we're all sex addicts. My problem is I've been clean for 8 months.
There you go.
That's kind of how I feel. All right. Well, White Sox, Bilkis?
No, I mean, look, the only thing I'll
take
say
a hike.
We know Matt's thoughts. My thing has been, you know, why did it take till March 13th to make a trade like this? You could have made this trade, I think, back at the winter meetings. Maybe even the
at
day
least they didn't did. Waste any bullets out of him in the regular season. He did 4 innings of 1 spring training game.
No, he's been pitching all through spring training. I think he's done more than 4 innings.
His last.
Anyways, that's irrelevant. I think irrelevant. To me, they, you know, Getz was making such a big deal about how they weren't going to just give him away, and he was talking with Baltimore and he was talking with the Yankees, and he only wanted Spencer Jones from the Yankees. And he's looking at all these big names, and then San Diego comes lurking like the trolls that they are, and offers
John,
up
Slack hates the Padres. You're not supposed
yeah,
to.
Offers up 4 idiots that nobody's ever heard of, and now every pervert is pretending like they knew
who the
these
hell
guys
is he?
Were. Right. Yeah. So that I mean to me that's the only thing that kind of like gives me the Spilkis is that, you know, you were talking with Baltimore about actual dudes. And you ended up with, you know, 3 maybes and a guy who's going to fill out your bullpen.
All of this belies any of the nihilism that you've expressed. The fact that you've thought this much through. None of it matters.
Eat Arby's.
Exactly.
Slack, do you have any Spilkis you want to share? As long as we're completing the set.
No, I think it's weird. I guess this is not really Spilkis.
Pete Crow Armstrong conspiracy theories go.
I think anybody mad about Pete Crow Armstrong going to AAA is a fucking moron.
Period. Yeah, it's a sex.
He's so stupid. If that's bothering you, you're the dumbest man on earth.
Until further notice, until he can hit a fucking major league fastball, he's Ginger Brian Anderson
with a celeb mom.
Hey, little big league. His dad too. His dad was in like Heroes or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His dad.
The Brewers just lost their closer for 3 yes. months.
The Brewers are fucking ridiculous.
The Cubs are going to win 84 games and win this division by 10 games.
So my only thing is, it's weird that they have all these like fringe corner players that are all fighting for I guess one spot.
Third base.
A bunch of who's who of 4A guys. No, like yeah, weird have. First baseman, like Dominic Smith, Garrett Cooper. What's
Nicky
David
Five
Peralta?
I think Nicky Five Peralta might find himself on the outs.
His hamstring tore off the bone.
Yeah, he also hurt himself again because his hamstrings are too small.
Because he runs like a fucking imbecile.
It's weird. They have a lot of weird. I don't even know what the point of all these guys is. There's just a lot of them. So,
yeah, but that's kind of like every spring training. I feel like, especially for like mid-level teams, there's just a lot of trash. I mean, look at the roster last year.
Is Andrew's guy Matt Chapman still unsigned?
No, he's
the Giants. Yeah,
the Giants.
And then they screwed JD Davis out of $5 million.
That they did. That Giants GM is an underrated. Real
he's an underrated
shit.
Pecker. Yeah,
he is a
absolutely.
Dickhead. Fuck him. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I just think it's interesting. Usually what happens is one of those guys they don't keep goes and immediately gets picked up on waivers by like Florida and hits like 320.
Yeah,
it happens every season.
Oh, I remember what I wanted to talk about. And it's kind of off the Pete Crow Armstrong thing. Are people really freaking out about Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yeah, well, I sent you. I'm going to keep the names out of this. I doubt they listen to this, but
Sam Andrew's got a guy on the inside.
Yeah, a prominent local tweeter, mentioned that Pete Crow Armstrong was sent down for service time manipulation purposes, and I'm like, that feels like the stupidest thing I've ever read in my life. Let me double check, and so I had a. an exchange with a friend of the program, Sahadev Sharma. Is this?
Oh, I thought Sahadev was whose identity we were trying to protect.
We don't care.
Oh, I don't care. He doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to this.
I'm protecting the idiots here. Sahadev's very smart. And he said, that's insane. He saw someone mention it about Nico Horner a couple years ago. And again, these aren't the level of guys that you manipulate service time right. for. They're not that not fucking good yet. And if they're going to be good, great. But they might not be. Like, Chris Bryan is a once-in-a-generation
right. That was
call-up. That is not normal.
Rookie of the year, MVP in back-to-back years.
And college player. Was he college player and minor league player of the year, too?
Yeah, I think he might have been, yes.
Like, well, now he's dead.
And now right, he's dead.
Long dead. But my point is, like, you're not talking. You can't.
Coors Field is just a glorified open air mega church, right?
You're essentially saying you're already counting down the days until Pete Crow Armstrong finally hits free agency and cashes in on $300 million. Like, have you watched baseball before? The odds of that happening are so low. Even if you think he's a great prospect, it's too many things have to go right. So I felt like that was just such a. On the topic of last week, a disingenuous, like, shitty read on something that you can be shitty about a lot of things, baseball and Cub and anything else if you want, but just don't be a fucking dumbass. Like, learn sports.
Like Dylan Olsen could be the next Robin Regier and mean it.
Yeah. No, who would say that? It's sort of the bridge to what I forgot. Backtracking a little bit, because yesterday, we've mentioned it on this great podcast about the quarterback debate and it tearing the city apart. But like at this point, I think through social media, it's hard for anyone to get a sense of what other groups are doing, because I see all these people like just bitching about how the Bears quarterback thing is like ruining their mental health. And I'm like,
that's fucking crazy.
But I'm like, at this point, everyone knows what they're going to do. And there are people
tweeting that because he hasn't been traded yet, that he's clearly Justin's still their number one.
What? But like,
I'm seeing it.
I guess what
it's scary.
Does sport debate now, especially in this town, does it just get siloed in like three or four different things for every issue? Like there are just like three or four groups on the Bears quarterback things, but
you're either on the Dave Kaplan moron side or the Barstool moron side.
Right, but I never see what the other three silos that I'm not in are talking about. Because my general feeling was that people like Justin, they want it to work, but it's like, hey, that's not what they're gonna do. You know, draft this Caleb Williams, and everyone's trying to start to get really excited about that if they weren't already. And that was the general impression that I got. And then I see people talking about how it's still a raging debate and everyone's going nuts. And I don't see that. Am I missing something?
No. I don't see it.
That just tells me you have a very properly and healthily curated timeline, Sam.
Must be.
Or you're not checking it.
You're not looking under the dirty corners of the right. room.
Well,
like
I don't
that.
Have
like
to
do.
Anymore.
Right.
So like,
unless you're moving
strange.
To Malta.
Right. It's very strange. Yeah, okay. The trade market wasn't what we thought it would be. Doesn't have to be right now.
No. Yeah. And again, Bernstein's been saying this. At this point, the smartest play, it's a little bit of a dangerous game, but basically that period between the minute whatever the last consensus first round quarterback goes until the moment the draft starts in the second round the morning after, that's where Justin's value is going to be the highest.
Yeah. By the way, side note, I can't wait for the Vikings to draft J.J. McCarthy. By all means, please.
It's going
please.
To happen.
I can't wait.
While they're paying Sam Darnold $10 million, though.
Yep. Right.
Sam Glennon.
There's also a chance after the first round or after the draft that Justin's market doesn't heat up all that much either. So is there a scenario where Poles goes to Fields? He's like, look, I will trade you for a fifth round pick, but you're going to go to some team as a backup or to maybe compete for a job. No one's trading for you as a starter. Do you want to do that somewhere else or do you want to do that here?
Do you trust the Fluce? to thread that needle locker room wise?
I don't know if I trust Flus, but I trust some of the guys in that locker room.
Like, everyone's going to know who it is, but like, it would be so unnecessary at that point.
It's so unnecessary.
At that point, the way to do right by him would be to just let him sign wherever.
Yeah, just cut him.
Just cut him. I don't think they're going to do that, though.
They might. I mean, they still might. I said, the NFL offseason is very, very long.
Very weird.
Yeah, very weird.
And apparently very horny.
And horny, yeah. So there's...
Depending on how many press conferences Jalen has.
I think a lot of people put too much emphasis on this initial free agent frenzy. But if you watch the NFL Network, if you see what the national guys are saying...
I don't ever watch the NFL Network, John.
Well, you
I'm
should,
not
Sam,
going to.
Because
I'm
I
not
did.
Going to. No.
Well, I did. I did for you. So I'll tell you what they were saying. They were talking about Justin Fields, and they were talking about
his
market.
Mel Diaper Jr.?
No. This was Slacks guy, Brian Baldinger.
His weird finger. Who has a weirder finger, Vince Vaughn or Baldinger?
Baldinger.
Isn't Vince Vaughn's finger one of our Cretans?
He used to fax Dan and Terry on the Barrett's Home Theater fax machine.
What they were saying was that there's a few teams that should be interested in Fields. I think once this whole free agency, the free agent quarterbacks kind of shake out, and they were saying the Giants, the Rams, and who's the third team? I can't remember now. Anyways, they were talking about how he's going to have to find a spot as he may have to accept a spot as a backup at some of these places. There's going to be a market for him.
The Giants, I feel like he could walk in there and win the job in training camp because that's bad. Daniel Jones bad.
Right, and I think people are making the comparison from Josh Allen working with DeBoole and then getting similar guy in Fields. And
DeBoole might be an idiot.
Well, he's clearly
we know
crazy.
He's a red ass and a red face.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've already talked about this. I'm sure there are plenty of NFL coaches who are motherfucking their assistants during the game, but it never comes out.
Right.
But, like, he's telling his defensive coordinator, while they're on defense, you're going to blow this for us. Does people understand how amazing that is?
Yeah, it's like having Sam in your headset while you're trying to coach a game. Don't do it. You're going to blow it.
I had this scenario, and it's so unlikely. But, you know how teams go apeshit for backups who put up three good games. Like the next off season. Now Justin's in a weird place because he's got the fifth year
McGowan. Thing.
But like Bears draft Caleb Williams, it's still unlikely he's gonna start all 17 games. How many quarterbacks start all 17 games? It's not a large number.
Well, he'll have to sit out the last couple because they'll have clinched.
Right. Obviously. Of course. But you can see you can see a scenario where he gets hurt for a couple weeks, right? And the Bears have just been stuck with Justin. He comes in, lights it up for 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, like, he's the hot name on the next free agent market.
He's done it before. He's had two good weeks.
Had two good weeks.
It's not crazy at all. That sounds like a pretty
You've
nice
seen
scenario,
that movie before.
Quite honestly.
You've seen that movie before.
Great. That sounds great to me. Imagine Caleb Williams having a great year. Something happens. He gets hurt. And Justin Fields comes in and tears it up. That sounds fantastic.
Right. But, like, look at Matt Flynn. Didn't Matt Flynn get, like, $45 million?
The problem is Matt Flynn didn't have three
quarter.
Full seasons of work before those three games.
That's true. But, like, all Justin has to come in and do is have, like, two or three good games, and people will only look at those first three seasons as like, progress. Like, oh, look at the steps he's making. We don't have the sample size to disprove it. Here's $50 million.
I mean, he'd already be somewhere if he was a free agent. It just so happens he's under contract. It sucks.
Yeah. So if
and that option year is the other the other sticky point. Yeah.
That is that's a problem. Yep.
Anyway. All right.
It's all a problem.
Okay. So the full disclosure, I kind of just said it as a throwaway thing. I said questions welcome, especially Dune related questions,
they're all Dune related.
Being the virgins that they all are, there's a lot of Dune questions.
Anti-Jalen's?
Exactly.
Yes, anti-Jay Lynn.
But there still are some of the old sports-a-roo here. So we'll get to some of those before we get to... There's a Venn diagram of some of them here. So... All right. We'll throw Sam a bone first here, since he's not a Dune boy. Wrestling question from Boog Knight 2002. My 8-year-old son is really getting into wrestling, or at least showing interest.
Don't answer with AJPW, Slack.
Why? I didn't answer anything yet.
He asks about Friday Night Raw all the time. What might be age appropriate, and what's a good way to get him into it?
Oh, Monday Night Raw is certainly age appropriate. In fact, that's the only age it's aimed.
The WrestleMania arcade video games from 1991. That'd be a good way.
Yeah, that would help.
Hokuto Kandori Dream Slam 94.
God damn it! I don't
know. That whole thing.
Slack has kids. He can talk.
I'll tell you this. Stella, when she was here, she thought. She still thinks Riho is the greatest wrestler in the world, and she's right.
And she might be. You're right. So,
I mean, depending on, I don't know. Did it say son or daughter?
Did not specify. No, he said son. No, he said son. Okay. He did say right. son.
So the son's asking about it, but he's not sure it's age appropriate. Is that where we're at here?
Yes, pretty much.
I guess, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, AEW is more for adults, and unfortunately... You know, WWE is,
but also WWE
morons.
Is the one like trotting out like Maxine and the other eye
True.
Candies.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about children. Just let them watch. Let them watch.
I'll say this: if the boy is if violence isn't the problem, then Collision is probably actually a pretty good show to watch because it's less. Right.
It is.
It's less angly than Dynamite, I would say.
Right. Let him watch Monday Night Raw. Let him watch Saturday Night Collision. Let him watch whatever he wants, and he'll decide.
Yeah, you know, your kid's going to like shit that you hate, and that's just how it is, so deal with it. Moving on. It sucks. You know, your kids like stupid shit. They're kids.
They're kids.
Stuff they like blows. It only gets worse.
Aren't you excited, John, for following
Yes, very much.
Dad, you should check this out. No, it's dumb.
No, I will not.
Go away.
All right. This apparently is important because it's what's going on now based on what I'm seeing on the timeline. But someone going under the moniker Kevin McTitty.
Ah.
What's your take on the Vancouver Canucks blue chrome helmets? I'll hang up and listen.
They have blue chrome helmets?
Yes. They're not as good as the matte black helmets for the black and red and yellow retros.
Nothing the Canucks do is cool. So there.
Canucks are stupid.
The Canucks are stupid. They're absolutely going to get clocked by the Knights in round one.
I'm kind of
excited for it.
I'm very looking forward to that.
Five games at most.
That's gonna, and they're gonna be so mad because it's.
They're gonna be so mad because Stone's gonna return for game one.
They're cheating! Like, oh, God, they're cheating!
They're cheating! Oh God! How can they do this? They're gonna absolutely run over.
Yeah, it's gonna be sick.
Well, it'll be the first round, so it'll probably go six or seven. But Vegas.
No. I think you got it. I think you got it, John. Five games.
Okay.
Hopefully, they lose the clincher at home.
I know that joy.
I want all those morons to have to sit there and watch it.
And then burn their beautiful city.
And then watch their fucking honor students try and loot a store.
And then they'll say that it was outside agitators and anarchists.
They're on a big bus from Indiana, the super soldiers for Antifa.
Right, to Vancouver.
They're driving up to Vancouver for elimination
game.
No, it'll be from San Francisco.
Right.
It's still a 24-hour bus drive.
Yeah, it's still a really.
But no, I'm saying that's the closest. That's the closest city that everyone thinks is a fucking hellhole out there.
Seattle.
That's why Shohei didn't sign.
Seattle
7. It was me and six other guys.
Six other guys.
I want Ron Kuby.
Bill Kunstler.
Those are two actual lawyers, by the way.
I know they are.
And one one of them, it was some very politically charged episode of a classic Law and Order, the first run, where one of them, either Bill Kunstler or Ron Coopy, did have a cameo as a defense attorney.
The first time my partner and I watched something on Tubi, we kept interrupting whatever we were watching by saying Bill Kunstler or Ron Tubi.
Tubi. Tubi.
All right, what's next?
All right, John's guy, we've kind of addressed this here, but
Crypto Fartcoin?
Yes, Crypto Fartcoin. Is it possible that Ryan Poles is actually showing himself to be a master poker player and that there is no trade market for Fields because that's not the plan? We're going to do right by Justin has somehow become fire and brimstone validation that they're taking a QB at one.
What?
I don't get it.
I get what he's saying. Is it not so much that he's saying, is it possible that they're not trading Justin because they're keeping him, and doing right by him means keeping him.
Trading the number one pick.
And either trading the pick or drafting somebody else, I guess. So, I mean, my answer is no, but.
No, I don't think so either. I think they're
I will say.
Go ahead.
It's nice that he wants to do right by Justin, but his first priority is to do right by the Chicago Bears.
That's exactly right.
And if those two things don't align, then, you know, it sucks because we love Justin and I don't want to see him get screwed. But, like, you know, that's the
hopefully
NFL.
At least the Raiders are off the table now since they're going with Minshew Mania. Like,
also, you know, it depends on what you define doing right by. Like, if he's got to wait another month, okay, that sucks. But, like,
he's already deleted socials. So,
right. That's not that big a deal. Like, you can, as long as you keep him, like, apprised of what you're trying, who cares? Anyway, no, I don't think Ryan Poles is a master poker player, though I think he's probably a better poker player than Kevin Warren.
Or Kyle Davidson.
I'd like him to be an average GM before I worry about his poker skills.
Well, yeah. I think it's been well documented that he's not a poker player at all. He has a really hard time lying when he gets up to the press stand. He'll tell you exactly what's on his mind and tell you exactly what his plans are, which in some cases probably hinder his ability to do things. I wouldn't necessarily call it a mistake or a misstep, but him saying, being as open and transparent as he was about Fields and that thing, the Chicago media has already jumped on it, and they're not going to let go of that quote that Sam mentioned until Fields is gone. To me, the whole thing with Fields, and I don't think I mentioned this when we talked, but I think I mentioned it in the text thread, again, the real show, was that, you know, regardless of if Poles makes the trade, or when he makes the trade for Fields, and it's, you know, a third and a fifth or a second and a sixth, whatever it ends up being, you know, if it ends up being the exact type of trade that we were all expecting all along, what difference does it make if he makes it on March 13th or
in between
July
the first
17th?
In between the first and second round, or
right? Yeah, it doesn't matter at the end of it. So
yeah, I'm sure he'd love to get it done quicker so he can learn his new playbook, you know, right, or whatever. But like,
find an apartment in whatever city.
Yeah, but you got plenty of guys, staffers that'll just do that for you.
Yeah,
plus the teams probably own all these high rises anyways that they just stick the players in.
Right. So I don't. Yeah. Whatever. All right. Do you guys want to get to your Dune thing? You want
I got one more sports here. Okay. And this is we haven't touched on this yet, but it like got all of our peppers hot the other day, and clearly Sarcastic Mike, longtime guy, picked up on it.
Knows how to touch our peppers.
At what point can a fan base be justified in calling itself "quote unquote"?
I think it's like porno. You know it when you see it.
Gonna have to agree with Slack there.
The Canucks are long suffering because they've
never not suffered,
and they deserve it.
But if you had if you had a dynasty or a semi dynasty in our lifetime, you're not long suffering.
You're not long suffering. Yeah,
like a dynasty. Not every team even had that. So it's ridiculous.
Were we given our generation of all of us being early 40s ish? Were we Islanders or Oilers fans, could we call ourselves long-suffering?
No, because no, those were all happening when you were you wouldn't remember them. I don't remember the Bears Super Bowl.
I kind of do.
I don't. I remember the Oilers last two cups, maybe.
Yeah, but here's my point. You're talking about a Bears Super Bowl. One. Okay? So long-suffering applies to the Bears, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it doesn't apply to the Oilers. It doesn't apply to the Islanders. It doesn't apply.
Certainly the Islanders.
I just think that when your team has had a run like that, I don't know that.
But that run's 40 years ago.
Yeah, I guess.
You know.
Well, we're specifically making fun of the fucking defector.
What sarcastic column. Mike wants us to say is no, Red Wings fans are not long suffering. They're just assholes.
Right. Yes. No, if that's what it is.
And crybabies and diaped.
The Red Wings are not long suffering.
Hopefully about to blow that playoff spot that they have.
They already have. They're already in third.
There's no generation of Red Wings fans outside of maybe people that were born in 2012 to now, and those are 12-year-olds and they don't count.
That the ones who switched.
Have some long run of success. I mean, the Red Wings were, even if you go back to the original 6 days, it was the Canadiens, the Red Wings, and the Maple Leafs. Those were the three, like the three big teams. If you go back to like the World War II era and moving forward until, you know, the next six.
The golden age of tackling.
And then the Red Wings from, they had a drought when they won. When was the last time they won? They like won in the
40s.
Was it the 40s, Sam?
I thought it was 1950.
It was really long. It was like a really long drought.
Yeah. But
okay. But they were still
like anyone who remembered that first cup is now dead.
Right.
So based on the logic of us really only getting the one a long ass time ago, could we call Rangers fans long suffering, or do we just?
I was thinking about them, Matt, because I do.
They got
think
the one
Rangers...
after 50 years, and then it's been another 30.
But there was also,
that's right on the border.
I think they're close to it, if not. Look, if a Rangers fan told me he was miserable, I would not question it. Period.
Right. Unless it was Scotty Hockey, and then we'd tell him.
And the Rangers tell me every day.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean.
It was the Rangers and the Hawks were the two worst teams during the original six era, if you like stack them up wins to wins.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Rangers were worse than the Hawks. And then they obviously had that 50-year drought, the 1940 chant. Plus,
Andy Bathgate doesn't do anything for you.
Plus, your big rival in Long Island had that run of four cups in a row and made it look super easy.
And the one across the river had 3-7 or whatever.
Yeah. I would say Rangers qualify as long suffering.
Yeah.
Even despite that.
Yeah, John, you bring up a really good point to the long suffering thing. Being embarrassed by your rivals year after year also helps add to that, which is why, again, the Bears qualify as long suffering.
Also, we don't even need the Bears. We were baseball fans of teams that went like 90 years or 108. Yeah. Like we know what it looks like. Like you said, it's porn. You know what it looks like.
Exactly.
Anyway, Red Wings fans, get the fuck out of here.
Fuck off.
You want to know like how like bad the Rangers were? Sometimes you like go look at the Rangers' retired numbers, and you're like, "Who are these people?"
Again, Andy Bathgate.
Right.
There are teams out there that you just know when you hear it. Like if you hear a Packer or a St. Louis Cardinal fan bemoan their bad season, it's just like, shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. No one feels bad for you.
Sam and I have a very good friend who is a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan. So
that is long suffering. Yes, that's what we're talking about. Like again, there's a clear difference, and the Red Wings just don't cut the mustard. Sorry,
no, not even close to cutting.
Does Red Wings glory pour over to the? Does at least mitigate some? We can admit, I think, to if not ourselves and the Lord, that Lions fans are long suffering.
Yeah, of course they are.
Red Wings glory mitigate that at all?
They're all the same fucking people.
Right.
Unfortunately.
So,
quite unfortunately.
All right. So I've narrowed it down to only two Dune questions, and they're relatively quick ones.
Okay. All right. All right. My favorite part was when the big fat guy went to the Army Navy football game, as I told you.
It took me a while to think of that, and then I told Jess that, or Jess heard the text via the CarPlay. Read the text, and I was like, what is he talking about, Army Navy? And she explained the scene, and then I started cracking up.
All right. Russell Perlman, longtime guy, one-time blue checkmark haver, but not anymore. Which Chicago coach, past or present, would use the Gom Jabbar as a way to motivate players? I'm thinking Mike Keenan.
Oh, man. That is,
that's a Jim Boylan move all the way. Possibly Coach. And I will say too, I heard tale of kind of a Gom Jabbar move from, the coach the year or two prior to my time at Bradley University Hockey, where like, it was a close game. I go into, Zam comes up for second intermission, and the guy was a senior when I was a freshman, so he was talking about the old coach Hammer, who apparently had a cup of coffee, and wait for it, in the NHL, but like, he's sipping a coffee in the dressing room and trying to rally the troops, and he's like, guys are playing fucking awesome, just keep it up, let's go, I'm so fucking pumped up right now, and he just goes, yeah, and just fucking dips like three of his fingers into his piping hot cup of coffee. Yeah, that's how fucking amped I am. Shafe, you gotta do this too. And so like, and he was like the de facto captain. And he's like, all right, Hammer. And he just fucking puts his hand in the hot coffee.
Ugh.
With hockey glove hands?
No, bare hands.
Oh.
And then the coach took a sip of it. And I forget what his girlfriend's name was, but he takes a sip of it, and this is extremely creepy and gross. He just goes, she tastes good.
Oh god.
But no, I would say definitely Boylan would try, would Gom Jabbar himself.
Nice segue back into the question.
Yeah. I don't know where this went, but okay.
Matt, you're the resident Dune expert, so I trust your opinion on this.
All right. And then obviously the easy one, even Sam knows about this bit. Michael Rantis, how many Dune 2 sandworm popcorn buckets did you buy?
They didn't sell it at the one I was at. So
it was an AMC thing. So they had the Wormussy at, I went to the Harwood Heights AMC out on Harlem, and they had it, but did not purchase that.
What are those going for? At the theater, not on the open market.
I think like 20 bucks.
The open market.
Well, who even knows? When I go buy popcorn and shit, I don't.
Yeah,
even, I,
yeah. You I can't. Track you can't.
The price either.
No, I'm going. I'm going to eBay. No, I'm going no, to
you
eBay.
Can't know, you can't know.
Wormussy right now.
How big a bag of popcorn do you get, Slack?
I got the small. The problem for me is.
Did you both go to Alamo?
No, we go to Webster pretty much exclusively.
The Alamo does bowls. They'll bring out your own private silver bowl, and it's unlimited.
I like that.
Yeah, you gotta love it.
Gotta love
Do
that.
Do they butter it up for you?
Oh, yeah, they butter it up on request, Sam.
Oh, nice.
Real butter or the machine?
I don't No, care. Real butter, man. This is fancy popcorn, and it's only $11.
That's the one by Wrigley, yes?
Yes. So it's going to be completely... uninhabitable for the summer months, so we're trying to get as many movies as we can before.
Well, road trips are fine. You can get in there.
Well, and you're going to be busy during the summer too, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, your movie going time's going down anyway.
Well, yeah. Anyways,
so
all right, that's all right. It for Dune Corner.
Dune Corner. No Oscar more thoughts.
I was just explaining to a cinema pervert about our corner thing and how we always develop a corner and then there's no more corners.
We love
all
our
right.
corners.
Well, we've done everything. Matt, are you going back out of town next week?
Yeah.
Okay, so it might be 2 weeks again. But who cares? We got it all out today.
Yep.
So anyway, for Slack, for Matt, for John, thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. Side note, thank you to all of you who sent very kind words and thoughts over the past couple days. I really do appreciate it. But until whenever we get back to this, top guys out.